Blog Talk Radio.
There is none like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search through all eternity, Lord, and find there is none. There is none like you, there is none. There is none like you, there is no one like you. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none. There is none like you. There is none. There is none like you. There is none. There is none like you. There is no one like you. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we come to say thank you for your grace, your love, your mercies, your kindness, your provisions. Thank you for another day, Father God, your life for life, for health and for strength. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for a host of angels. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for an open heaven. Thank you, Father God. We bless you for all things. Thank you for the Life of Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Thank you for where we've been, where we are, and where we're going, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we commit this service into your hands, and we ask that you and you alone will be glorified and your people edified. And Jesus Christ, he is the Lord. Now, Father, as you taught your disciples to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. We will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouths. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Top of the morning to you, and welcome back to the Life Way Jesus Kingdom Ministries, where Jesus Christ is the Lord. As we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God's name is great and so greatly to be praised. TGIF, today God is first. Amen. And this is what we do. Amen. This day and every day. If we're on the line, off the line, amen, this is what we do. Amen. I want to welcome all of our first timers, amen, to our platform. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glory be to God. Have a seat at the breakfast table. Our spiritual breakfast is about to be served in Jesus' name. We want you to know that we meet on this platform Monday through Saturdays. Amen, Monday through Saturdays, and still have our ears open to see what the Lord wants to say to us in reference to Sundays. Amen, in Jesus' name. Enjoy the services. I'm Apostle Dr. Alfreda Bradford of the Life Way Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Amen, with a made up mind, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or Jesus Christ is not Lord at all. Amen and amen. We're talking about the women of the Bible. And now I'm talking about women. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God. Amen. Glory be to God for how on yesterday I was the woman. I was the woman. Amen. Alfreda Bradford. Amen. So thank God. Amen. That for that word. Amen. We want to thank God for all the people that was encouraged through that word. Amen. Glory be to God as the texts and phone calls came in. Amen. That came from the bottom of my soul. That came from the bottom of my soul on yesterday. Amen. And that's how I tend to live, saints. Amen. Not just on every other day, but every day when I open my mouth, I want to speak from the bottom of my soul. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Because Jesus, where Jesus is. Jesus is all on the inside of me. I am possessed by the Holy Ghost. And we know we got a lot of people out here possessed with devils. Yeah, and this Holy Spirit can cast them demons out. But I'm telling you, I'm possessed with the Holy Ghost. And can't no devil cast out the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can cast out the devil, but the devil can't cast out the Holy Ghost. Because greater is he that lives within us than he that lives within the world. Amen. And I'm happy about it. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believeth. This morning, amen, glory be to God coming to us to expound, amen, on J.L. And those of you who don't spend a lot of time in the Bible may not know who J.L. is. Amen. Well, you're about to find out. Amen. And so we want to thank God for our minister, amen, Shannon, amen, well capable, amen, glory be to God. She does her research, her due diligence, amen. She is definitely a teacher in the kingdom, amen. And we thank God for her willingness to serve in the kingdom, amen, in Jesus' name. So she may be a stranger to you. So if she is, if it's the first time that you hear her speak, I'm sure it will not want to be the last time. Amen. So I want to introduce to some now, and I want to present to others our minister Shannon Sproul, that we might receive her this morning. Amen. For her grace, and receive her this morning. Amen. For her abilities. Amen. In Jesus' name. Minister Shannon, are you there?
Good morning, Apostolus Bradford. Yes, I am.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Amen. May God bless you. And the floor is yours.
Okay. Good morning to all on the line, all the saints in God, and all who are on the line all over the world who are chiming in. And thank you to all those who are homebound in Philadelphia. And just thank you for everything. And I always want to go before God with a word of prayer. And I'm just going to say the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer that he gave to the model prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forever. My mind, my heart, and my soul says amen, amen, amen. Okay, good morning, as I said, and I will be elaborating today, bringing forth a short word on JL. This was a very challenging one for me this time. It challenged me to go a little bit deeper and dig a little bit deeper than this time, you know, calling me out into the deep and, you know, the wisdom, you know, study to show thyself approved, rightfully dividing the word of God. I had never heard of JL ever. I had never heard of her before, but trust me, in the last few weeks I became acquainted with her. I started writing my elaboration a little bit later. The Holy Spirit took me a whole different way. But once I learned about JL and her role in the Bible, I identified a little bit with JL, but also with the circumstances that brought her to this point through the prophet Deborah, the prophetess Deborah. And it was very interesting. I mean, once you get into the nooks and crannies of God's word and you allow them to get into your crevices, it is amazing what you can do. I never say, God, I can't do it. I say, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and who loves me. God, as I decrease, God, you increase and fill me with the wisdom to go before your people. I always acknowledge God, because it's not Shannon that you hear standing before you. It is God. I am his mouthpiece, and I am always grateful for God using me. JL plays an important role in the story of Israel. Jael comes into the scene through Deborah, the prophetess, starting in Judges chapter 4. Jael's role in the biblical is found in Judges chapter 4, starting with war, a war that had started between Israel and the Canaanites. In this story, Deborah, a prophetess and a judge of Israel at the time. Also, she is also a military leader. Deborah hears of the plight of Israel and first sends Barak, a military commander from the north, to fight the Canaanites. And he protests, meaning he tells Deborah, I don't want to go. I'll only go if you will go with me. So Deborah prophesies to him at that time, but Deborah also tells him, yes, I will go with you. I will accompany you. But the victory will not be your glory, but the victory will be given by the hand of a woman. And I want you to know that this war also, the war that was fought between Israel and the Canaanites, the military person that was in charge of the Canaanite wars was this man by the name of Jabin. And Jabin had, as we could say, an attendant that was over his army named Caesarea, I hope I'm saying that name right, Caesarea. And he was one of the commanders that Jabin had placed over his army. And Jael comes into play because she is married to a man named Heber. Heber is her husband. And Heber was once an ally for the Israels. He supported the Israels. He supported their army. But for some reason, Jael's husband, Heber, when he saw the army that Jabin had mounted, about 900 or more in total, metal workers, iron people. And this is also where Jael and Heber came from. They are from the tribe of the Kenites. And when Heber saw this army, Heber became fearful that the Canaanite army that Jabin had built would overtake the Israelites, meaning saying that they already had the victory. In his reality, they had the victory. So Heber decided that he would side with the enemy of the Canaanites. Of Israel, with the Canaanites. He would side with Jabin over siding with Israel. So he switched when he saw the armies. Isn't this something that when we are faced with something that is insurmountable, something that seems like we cannot win, the deck is stacked against us, and instead of us believing God's report, when God says to us, still go forward, when the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard that when the devil comes in one way, he will have to flee seven different ways. But we don't sometimes believe the word of the Lord. So sometimes, like Heber, we decide to switch sides. And we start to sit at the seat with the enemies because we feel like, okay, like the devil, he comes and he camouflages certain things. He makes it seem bigger than what it is. And we say, oh, my God, I don't believe that God will be able to deliver us from this. I don't believe God is going to bring this to pass, this judgment. I had this case with these people for so long, fighting in, you know, for my rights on an accident case or anything, whatever you have ever faced before. But this is something different. I see the giants. I see the armies. I see the things that are going on around me. And I become fearful that I decide to switch sides and allow fear to cause me to go into a place with the enemy that I should not be. Well, this is where Heber was. And if I had to give this elaboration a topic, I would say God over loyalty. Now, after Deborah raises up Barak to go to fight this battle, and Barak tells her that he will not go unless she goes, and as Deborah the prophetess prophesies that the hand will be given, the glory will be given into the hand of a woman. And let me say that it was a disgrace at this time that if you were killed by a woman, this was considered very disgraceful in any circumstances. But nevertheless, Deborah prophesies this. So then, as we read further in Judges chapter 4, Deborah instructs Barak what to do. Barak is basically a coward who really doesn't want to go. So this was Deborah also prophesying to him about his cowardice, maybe calling him out. This is God's way of maybe calling out Barak, saying, okay, come forth and do the job that I have set for you to do, man. But Barak, for some reason, did not want to stand up and do it. So God, in his infinite knowledge, raises up Jael. Now, it doesn't say if Jael had a relationship with God, but I want to say to you, to a certain extent, she had to have some type of relationship with God because her husband Heber knew God. And they were also descendants of Moses' in-laws. Also in-laws, and indirectly they were in the lineage of Moses through marriage as some of his in-laws as well. Jael plays an important role as Jael is raised up to be the heroine in this story. So as the war begins to rage, Jael is forced with a decision. Do you ever find yourself in a hard decision with a loved one? Now, this is a decision between a husband and a wife. So now Jael has to watch her husband, Heber, who has now denounced God and went to the side of the enemy. But here Jael is faced with her loyalty to her husband. Do I go and stay loyal to my husband, or do I go forward and be loyal to God? Have you ever been placed in that position where your loyalty to God versus your loyalty to a loved one or family member or something that you hold dear is being compromised? I pulled up some scriptures, and the first scripture I pulled up was Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Meaning that we cannot compromise in times when we are called to make an important decision, especially where God is on display, where we are being called to be the light. We're called out of darkness. I mean, have you ever had someone really close to you? I mean, I want to talk about somebody close, a mother, a child. Has somebody really ever asked you to do something that you knew was contrary to the word of God? How did you handle that? Did someone ever ask you to lie for them? Has someone ever put you in a position where you may have had to compromise your relationship with God for them? Meaning calling your loyalty to God and them in question. What did you do in those times? Did you falter? Did you give in to that type of temptation? Did you yield? Did you allow that little leaven to come in? Did you say to yourself, this is my child, I have to save them at all costs, whatever the situation may be. Maybe I'm going to stand in and compromise a little bit. Yeah, I know they might have been selling drugs, or maybe they may have did something, and you knew in their heart that they was not doing right out here. But instead of you taking a position as a servant of God, you took a position as a mother or a father or a parent or whatever position you were placed in, and you said, you know what, I want to save my child. I'm sorry, God. I don't want to see them suffer the consequences of their actions. So instead of me doing the right thing, I'm going to step in and side with my child or side with my parent or side with whatever the issue is over God. That is a very tough situation to be in. But I want to tell you that we must move forward in God's word. We cannot compromise in any way, not even when it comes to our family. Think about this. Think about back in the Bible. If Abraham would have said, when God came to Abraham and said, get away from your crazy kinfolk. What if Abraham would have said, you know what? I'm not ready to leave my family. I'm not ready to leave everything. I'm going to stay here with my kinfolk. He would have never become the father of many nations. He would have never have accomplished his goal had he not have did what God told him to do when he told him to do it. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If Jesus had at one time, and he had the right to say so, if Jesus at one time would have said, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Where would we be? It is so easy to get caught up in the cares of this world. It is so easy to get caught up in your family, your friends, whomever you hold dear, to compromise for that one thing that can be very devastating down the line. Very devastating down the line. And as I was studying this word and I began to put myself in JL's position, I have been put in this position many times where I'm asked to do something that I know that is contrary to the word of God. But because it is a family member or a close friend, I don't want to offend them. Or I don't want to lose them, not looking at the situation through God's eyes, but through Shannon's eyes, and say, oh, boy, if I don't go along with this person, they're going to leave me, or I'm going to lose something. Either way, I'm going to lose something. But at those particular times, I was not mature in the Lord to know the difference. So, therefore, I ultimately chose to do things their way or side with them in some kind of way. And somewhere along the line, it felt bad on me. Like, have you ever lied for somebody? You know, they say, oh, you know what? Somebody is going to call you or whatever the case may be. I want you to tell them a lie. You tell them a lie for them, and then you get caught up in all this, so he say, she say stuff. Now, that person, now once the stuff hits the fan, they back away, leave you out there, in the hot fire, and next thing you know, you all caught up in a situation that could have been avoided by you just doing the right thing. No, I will not lie for you. No, I will not compromise in any kind of way. My relationship and my integrity and my character is more important than me compromising for you. Well, this is the situation that JL found herself in with her husband. So as the battle raged on between the Israel and the Canaanites, it is reported that Caesarea, who was the military army of the troops of Jabin, Jabin was the military, the commander of the Canaanite war, but Caesarea was his commander. And as Caesarea and as the war became hot, Caesarea flees. Isn't that just like the devil? He flees. He left his people because he was losing the battle. The Israelites were winning over the Canaanites. Caesarea, instead of staying in the battle, decides to flee. And he runs off. And Caesarea was she was a metal worker. She built tents. She worked in tents and putting pegs and metal and forming tools and things of that nature. This is what JL did. But when Caesarea was fleeing, he sees JL. She's standing, you know, in her tent, at the door, and Caesarea, as he's fleeing the army, the battlefield, he sees Jael, Heber's wife. And he knows that Heber and Jabin are friends. There's a peace between them. So he assumes that Jael is on his side. So he sees her when she says, oh, come over. Come over, Caesarea. Come over to my tent. Come on in. I'll hide you. This is how she greeted him. I'll hide you. Come on in. I'll cover you up. And as it says in Judges, she covers him up with a blanket or rug. This is my words. And as she's covering him up, he says, you know what? I'm a little thirsty. Can I have a little water? But instead of JL giving him water, she gives him some milk. And in this milk puts him at ease. And you know, he falls back and he begins to, you know, relax. I mean, he's underneath this blanket. I want you to imagine that. And he feels in his heart, okay, I have escaped the battle. Even though Barak and all of the people are looking for me, here I am. Tucked back underneath this blanket, thinking that he's in safety. Well, JL made the right decision. She did not decide to go with her husband, Heber. She decided to go with Israel and God. JL pulls out a peg from the tent that she uses to tap in to secure the tent, and she sticks it in the head of Caesarea. The peg goes straight through his brain into the ground, it says in the Bible. And Caesarea is killed immediately, which greatly changes the shift of this battle that gives Israel the ultimate victory over the Canaanites. When Barak comes by to see where Caesarea has fled, he sees JL standing in the tent door now, and JL says to him, what are you looking for? And he says, I'm looking for Caesarea. And she says, well, come see where he is. She pulls back that blanket and says, here he is. Barak sees that Caesarea has been killed at the hand of JL. Now, this was already prophesied by Deborah, the prophetess, that the victory would be given to a woman because of Barak's cowardice. And this is accredited to JL's fast thinking, but also her rational thinking that I will not let a little leaven come in between the relationship I have with God. Even though my husband has decided to side with the enemy, I will not do that. I cannot imagine how Heber felt later on when he found out that his wife was credited for killing one of the enemies of the army, Caesarea. But I want to tell you something, that sometimes in our walk with Christ, what I got out of this was that we should not compromise. We should not falter in any way. No matter who the person is, mother, father, sister, brother, children, close friend, anyone, you should never let anything come between doing what is right in God's sight. You should never let anything compromise you from serving God. I know there are some people on this line who are married, but if you and your husband and your wife, or however you want to put it, start off in Christ, and one of you decides, I'm going to go back, or I'm going to go out, sort of like Lot and his wife, I'm going to turn around and look back or go back. Are you going to go back with him? Or are you going to keep going forward? What if your children, who I know all of us on this line love our children more than anything. Well, not more than anything, but we love them a great deal. I'm going to put it like that, because God should be first in everything that we do and love, in our love, in our heart. That's what I mean. But what about your children? I don't know why God is calling me back to this particular relationship. What if How much are you willing to give up? How much are you willing to give of yourself for your children? And if they are living a godly life and a good life, like Abraham, when God told him, you know, come on, we're going to sacrifice Isaac. But we know Abraham did not compromise. Abraham was fully ready to kill his son, to sacrifice his son for God. But God always has a ram in the bush. And this is the way I see this situation. God had a ram in the bush, even though Heber did not do the right thing because he feared. He looked at the army. He looked at the size of the army. And he assumed that Israel was going to lose this battle. So he decided what he thought to get on the winning side. But we can never take God out. We can never count God out. God always has a ram in the bush. God always comes through. In Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that may seem right, especially when it family, we never want to compromise those situations. Like, say your child asks you to do something that you know is contrary to the word of God, and I'm coming, the Holy Spirit is putting that on my heart because that is a very sensitive relationship. But if you know that God is telling you don't do this, this is wrong, you may have to lose maybe something, you know, with you, between you and your children. I mean, they might be salty. They might feel like, okay, mom or dad, you let me down. I'm your child. Or maybe, how about this? Maybe say your child is not living a life that God would have them to live. I'm just giving you a scenario. Say they're on drugs. They out here doing things out here. You know they out here doing things, but they coming to you, mom, I need some money, or I need a hot meal and clothes and food and shelter. Now, to a certain extent, I know that's a little hard. You may open up your door and say, look, you can take a shower here, and you can have a hot meal. But after that, you have to go. You have to go because you're doing something that's contrary to the word of God. And you know that by leaving, letting that child in and giving that child money, and you're being an enabler, you're doing more harm than you are good. But as a mother and as a parent, they tug at our hearts. So this type of example that I'm giving, this is kind of hard. You don't want to compromise your relationship with God, but then here you see your child in a situation, whatever that may be. Maybe they commit a crime, and God is tugging at your heart to tell you, you're going to have to turn them in. You're going to have to do the right thing. You're going to have to open up your door. You let your son, your daughter run in here. The cops is chasing them. I'm just using this as an example. But you're going to have to open that door, let them cops come in and get them. If you sure enough knew that they did it, and as much as it might hurt your heart, God may call you to say, open that door. Your child might be saying, mom, if you open that door, dad, I will never forgive you. This is the ultimate slap in the face. You're turning me over. But no, you're doing what is right in God's sight. Living a holy and a righteous life is what we are called to do. We cannot compromise with the world, with our families in any way. And trust me, I know this firsthand. We cannot. We cannot. Because God forbid that one thing that you may do to compromise your relationship with God may be the last thing that you do. Or it may cost you something. As Pastor said earlier this morning on the prayer of Facebook, what good does it do a man to gain the whole world and lose his only soul? Or what shall you give in exchange for your soul? We're supposed to love God with our whole heart, mind, body, spirit, all that is in us. God first. Family second. But in family being second, that does not mean that we compromise our relationship We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't do things that we know that is contrary to the word of God. Yes, my child, you can come and ask me for something, and if it is in God's will, and if I prayed over it, and if I feel peace in it, and God gives me the green light, the Holy Spirit gives me the green light, yes, I will do this. But if it is going to cause me to be separated from God, I can't do it. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in my elaboration on my God, why hast thou forsaken me, I said in the text that when Jesus was on the cross and as he was bearing all of our sins, as he was feeling the full throttle of what God was placing on him for our sins, God turned away from Jesus, meaning he disassociated himself with Jesus, because God cannot stand where sin is. So God had to separate himself from Jesus, his own son. He had to separate himself and put the full throttle on Jesus. Jesus felt the full blunt of our sins because God had to disassociate himself from him, meaning sin separates us from God. And in the same way, this is what I'm trying to say to you, to do this elaboration with JL, that sometimes in life, we have to separate ourselves from certain things, certain behaviors, certain characters. We have to separate ourselves. We have to think about every decision that you make once you become saved. You have to give it to God. You have to say to God, Father, is it your will for me to do this or that? Is it your will for me to help this person, God? Show me your pathway for provision. Show me what you would have me to do, God. God, somebody has asked me to come into a court of law and lie for them. God, I don't want to tell the truth to these people, God, because I'm going to suffer loss of some kind. Do you compromise? Psalms 112 and verse 7, I'm reading this out of the English Standard Version. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. We have to trust God at all times, even when the battle looks like we may not win this. Looks like, I said, you must know that God is going to bring you through. You know, in relationships, it is very hard. Sometimes for some of us, I know it is for me. Look, I always like to be true. It's hard sometimes to separate family, friends, and it's hard when God is taking off unrighteousness to bring forth righteousness. And even up until the very, I think it was yesterday afternoon, a cousin of mine came here, and I wasn't even expecting it, knocked on my door unexpectedly, and came to use the bathroom. And as she came to use the bathroom, as she went to leave, she said, oh, Aunt Shannon, you want to go out? You want to go out? You want to go to LB's Lounge? Now, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. I'm speaking the truth of shame and the devil. You want to go out? Now, LB's Lounge is not too far from where I live at. And I began to chuckle in my spirit. I said, now, here we go. Did I compromise? Did I give in? I want to do my boasting in the Lord. No, I did not give in. I said, no. She made a joke. She said, oh, you can't come out? What's going to happen? What you going to get hurt? What you can't come out? I said, no, it's not that. I choose not to. I don't want to do it. She went laughing to her car. And I turned around to close my front door and came on, and I said, God, I pray that you are well pleased. I pray, God, that you are well pleased, because I did not want to disappoint God. And that is some of the positions that we have to take. God over loyalty. God over everything. This world, the world that we know, has changed, has shifted. And the world that we now know is changing more and more every second. We don't know what's going to happen with Russia and Ukraine. We don't know what's going to happen with all of these situations. Those that are in Christ Jesus, yes, we have an insight and we know as everything unfolds. But no matter what happens, we must not compromise. Be like JL. Even if it is a close relative, even if it is a husband, a sibling, whomever it is, do not compromise your relationship with God. Do like JL did. Say, okay, I must side with Israel. I must side with God. And I must do what is right. Don't cower back. Don't cower back. Don't give up. If God brought you to it, he will take you through it. God will bring you through your fiery furnaces. God will bring you through your lion's den. God will bring you through whatever you're facing. God will see you through. I don't care how hot the fire looks. I don't care how the battle looks. Think about Gideon. Think about Gideon, who is also in the book of Judges, just a few chapters ahead from Judges chapter 4. Think about that battle. I mean, it was like a couple of thousand of them. I mean, tens and thousands. And God shrunk this army down to 300 because he did not want to give the hand of the enemy into the hand of Israel's with all of those armies, because Israel would have boasted that they did this in their own strength. So God took and shrunk that army down to 300 and gave the battle into Gideon's hands, into Israel's hands. God takes the base things, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. People like me, who never had a formal education, who did some things that I'm not proud of in this world, who maybe some people will look and say, you're not worthy, who maybe some people might say, I know this young lady personally, and that's okay. But I fight for God now, and I fight for Jesus now. And that means so much more to me than anything. And if I go down, I'm going to go down fighting. I'm going to go down fighting. It's been a rough few weeks. And as I thought about doing this elaboration, it's a few times I said, God, I just can't do it, God. I just had to cry out to God. I mean, I was out in my car at 4 o'clock. So I'm going to say 3:30 a.m. this morning, because I had to get alone with God. I had to get alone with God, and I had to get alone with my Father and just talk and minister and be alone, because I wanted to weep and wail, and I just wanted to get in the presence of God. And that was my prayer closet, my car. And I locked myself in that car, and I stood in there until I got peace. When I opened up that door and came back into this house, I was like, I'm ready, God. Not my will, but your will be done. We are warriors in the army of the Lord. And I want you to remember that. I pray that this word has helped somebody. God over loyalty. JL's story. Thank you, Pastor. I mean, thank you, Apostle Bradford, for calling me up. But thank you most of all, God, for using me. I pray, God, that you have been glorified and your people have been edified. Bless them as they go about their day. I pray for traveling mercy, favor over them all, God, over their family, their children, God. Work it out, God, for their good and for your glory, God. Move in that person's heart, God, that feels a little downtrodden. Move in that person's heart, God, who has to make an important decision, God. Help them not to lean to their own understanding, but to look to you, God, the author and finisher of their faith. Whose report will you believe? You're stronger than what you think you are, God. Be the wind beneath their wings today. Propel them forward, God. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the open doors. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you, God, for the favor, for the mercy, God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in us and through us, God. And thank you, God, for delivering us, God. Help us, God, to stay strong in you, unified in our mind, unified in our thoughts, God. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There was so much more that I could have said, but the Holy Spirit said, stop. So I just want to say thank you, Lord. God always knows what's best. Remember that. We are the light and the salt of this earth. The battle is not ours. It is God, but we are God's servants, and we have the victory. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody have a blessed day. Sister Shannon signing off.
Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We want to thank God, amen, for that thorough story on JL. Amen, Sister JL. Amen, who chose God. Amen. She chose the will of the Lord, God over loyalty. Amen. No compromise. Amen. God over loyalty. And as Sister Minister Shannon said, God over everything. Amen. No compromise. Amen. For the hands of a woman, the hands of a woman. Amen. Glory be to God. She took the enemy out. And let me tell you, God is still using women. Glory be to God. Beloved, amen. Greater is he that lives in us and he that lives in the world. Amen. Glory be to God. We are equipped to be warriors, amen, and to go into war. When the Lord is calling us forward, we must go forward without any compromise, amen. So thank you for bringing that home, Minister Shannon, amen, because, you know, we have to really take a deep look, beloved, because it's so easy to compromise. It's so easy. It's so easy to come. This is why, as Minister Shannon said, another scripture that came to mind as you were ministering, Minister Shannon, is that God said, unless you love God more than your mother, your father, your sister, your children, your brothers, huh? Why? Because these people are close to you. You love your children. You love your spouse. You love your family. These people are close to you. You'll give them the shirt off your back, anything. That's why Jesus said, unless you love me more than these, you cannot be my disciple. See, because it's easy to compromise because you love them so much. And the bottom line is you love them more than God. Now you're in trouble. God said, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and might. God is first thing. God expect me to love him more than I love my children. Yep. God expect me to love him more than I love my wife, my husband. Yeah. See, it gets real touchy, beloved. That's why, amen, glory be to God. That's why God said, let the wheat and tare grow together. Let the wheat and tare grow together. Oh, it's going to be a separation. It's going to be a separation. Beloved, no compromise. And we know that's easier said than done, but guess what? Some of us already at the test. Some of us already been tested and failed. That's why the Lord keeps taking you through until you pass. Because we keep failing. I just love them to death. That's why they dying and that's why you dying. Why about loving them to life and doing what God says? Look, when you do it God's way, you're going to win. You're going to win your family. You're going to win. You ain't going to lose nothing. And everything you lose, amen, God going to give it back to you in his kingdom. Very thorough, soul-searching message on today, beloved. No compromise. JL didn't compromise. She didn't compromise, and we're still reading about her today. So, beloved, if you want your name, amen, hallelujah, if you want to hear God say, well done, you best believe God ain't going to be saying well done to a bunch of compromisers. Let's keep it real. You don't compromise. You don't put everybody before God. Everybody. Lottie-dottie, everybody before God. I just had to do it. Just one time. And I asked God to forgive me. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. God ain't going to be saying well done to a bunch of compromisers. Let's just keep it real. Spirit and truth. Spirit. Compromising is not truth. And it's definitely not, it was a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Thank you, sister. Amen. We appreciate you. Job well done. Amen. Thanks. This is a message worth listening to again. It's a message worth listening to again, and keep listening to it until you tell the Lord, yes, God first. God first. Oh, it ain't easy. It's hurt sometimes. It's embarrassing sometimes. Relationships might be in jeopardy sometimes. But, baby, let me tell you something. These people ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. You got to do what's right. And you can't do what's right until you're walking right. Good job. God bless you, Minister Shannon. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, that's it. That's it. That's it. Amen. That was loaded. That was loaded today. Amen. Glory be to God. Tomorrow, Lord's willing, we will come back and talk about Rebecca. 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 Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody have a lovely day today. Amen. Glory be to God. Whatever you do, keep Jesus on your mind. Glory be to God. God, we cancel every spirit. We bind every spirit. A retaliation, we nullify it, we cancel it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless Minister Shannon for bringing this word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, any test that she has to pass or that we all have to pass in reference to showing our true love. Father God, you allow the test to come, Father, not that you can find out, because you already know where our heart is. You allow the test to come so we can find out that you really not first. You're only first at our convenience, but you're not really first. Father God, help us all to do better. This word has come to meet us all, Father God, that sometimes we just got to say, no, I'm sorry. God is first, and his word is first, and his spirit is first. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today, Father. We cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow. Still praying against, Father God, the threat of nuclear war. Father God, it's heavy on our hearts. All your prophets are talking about it, Father. This is a real threat. Father God, we pray you would stay the hand and give the people the will to turn in the right direction towards you. In Jesus' name we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless us at the altar of prayer today. Bless us at Bible study tonight, Father. And we say thank you for all things. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present your faultless for the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, forever, forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face shine upon thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Amen. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. Jesus Christ is Lord. Our Bible study will be on conference tonight. I'm not going to be on Facebook tonight. Facebook is good. We're going to have to rotate. The only thing about Facebook, you can't open up for questions and answers. You can't open up for elaboration. We need the interaction. This is what Bible study is about. The ask questions, amen, et cetera. So, amen. So tonight we will be on conference. That's on the prayer line number at 8 o'clock, Lord's willing. Lord's willing, amen, for Bible study tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Everybody have a good day. Again, thank you, Minister Shannon, all of our visitors, amen, all of our lovely ministry partners, your families. Everybody, amen. Be blessed today. Walk in the blessing. That's the blessing manifestation. It is already here. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
Everybody clap your hands. Come on. Oh. We have a song of praise. We want you to sing with us. Our God is awesome, and he's worthy to be praised. Come on, everybody, sing. Lord of all.
Lord of all and ruler.
are God of all the earth.
You are God of all the earth.
Let all your people praise you.
Let all of your people praise you.
And sing of your marvelous works.
And sing of your marvelous works.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee shall bow before you.
And every tongue will confess. Your mind, you're gonna praise.